actor Lord Frost, the Treasury Minister James Murray, and the writer and broadcaster Steve Richards. Any questions is at 8 o'clock. Oh, there's political satire from Andy Zaltzman and his panel in our 6:30 comedy next. And if you're in the mood for a laugh, then here's something else which might appeal.
On BBC iPlayer.
Hi all! Hi!
From the award-winning creators of Motherland.
My mantra is natural, simple. I'm actually reclaiming the word simpleton.
Amanda is back.
What can I do for you, Mummy?
Darling, let me in before I get mugged.
In a new place.
What now?
You've blocked me in again.
I need to park there to charge my car. I'm sorry if my saving the planet annoys you.
Brand new Amandaland.
I was a single mother too, you know.
Well, your father went skiing a lot.
Watch all episodes on BBC iPlayer.
And now it's time for the news quiz.
Hello. I am Andy Zaltzman. In an effort to come up with a headline more ridiculous than what we've been seeing in the news this week, I've hired a secret aircraft hangar full of an infinite number of monkeys with an infinite number of typewriters. Maybe not the best use of your license fee, but there have been worse. To help them along, we've been plying them with absinthe and psychotropic bananas. Let's see what headlines they've come up with. Free dolphins for pensioners scheme to reduce travel time between Scotland and Canada. Just not as ridiculous as what we've been seeing. Shakespeare to be reincarnated as erotic game show host. I can see that happening. And government commits £8 trillion to Norfolk volcano project. I want to see that happening. So, sadly, nothing even close to as ridiculous as reality yet. We'll let the monkeys keep going through the show. In the meantime, welcome to this week's news quiz. Hello, welcome to the rampant buffoonery of the human speech, sorry, news quiz. And our team this week, as the BBC launches its new Jane Austen drama, in the year the celebrity Hampshire and England novelist turns 250, paid tribute to both Austen and to the character and actions of the American president. We have Team Pride against Team Prejudice. On Team Pride, we have Jeff Norcott and Aisha Hazarika. And on Team Prejudice, we have Pierre Novelli and Susie McCabe. Our first question can go to Jeff and Aisha. A long-term ownership position. That is Donald Trump's stated goal for what?
His wife?
The Supreme Court?
It's Gaza, isn't it?
Correct, yeah.
It's Gaza. Yeah, this one was a bit of a curveball from Donald. I think, I get it, I'm here, I like to provide balance where I can, but I'm going to say it. This, I'm not sure it's an entirely wise thing to say. It was surprising. I mean, maybe he just saw those Free Palestine stickers and he thought, that sounds like a good deal.
I think he thinks the Gaza Strip is a gentleman's club in Las Vegas. I mean, what's incredible is that he clearly just doesn't really understand what's sort of going on, but everybody's got to pretend to suck up to him at the moment. So I was speaking to somebody who's kind of quite a senior sort of diplomatic person. They were trying to put a positive spin on it, and they were like, the thing with Donald Trump is sometimes he'll say something like really harsh in order to negotiate. So this is a bit like saying, I'm going to kill you, but maybe at the end of the day he'll only kneecap you and you'll be really grateful to be kneecapped.
I think we sort of thought, because he won a mandate, and we were like, oh, it's different this time. But he's 4 years older. One thing I know about blokes in their 70s is they don't get more sane.
I'm just pleased we finally have a US president who's willing to invade and occupy a Middle Eastern country. About time.
See, if you can make Gaza the Riviera of the Middle East, imagine what you could do with Milton Keynes. The Florence of Buckinghamshire.
He doesn't understand anything except through real estate deals. He said the same thing about North Korea. He said he has great beaches. It could be really great hotels up here. It's clearly how he sees the world. So we have to get on his level. Because he doesn't care about human rights. But if you say, no, Donald, the people of Gaza are executive club members. we can't touch him then. That's right.
It must be mad for people that live in these countries that he's saying these things about. Like, I felt sorry for the people of Greenland. They must have just been, what? Well, are we on the market? And then, like any sane person, you go, well, let's check what it's worth. I mean, it's certainly worth testing the waters of the market, you know. Maybe they should do like Foxton, should just drop leaflets all over these countries going, crazy narcissists are looking for properties in your area.
I mean, I also don't think that turning war zones into beach resorts is actually the right way to achieve world peace. See how aggressive people get, you know, with the sun loungers and their beach towels, and we do not want the Germans to get involved. Things are already very, very, very dangerous.
He's been accused of basically advocating ethnic cleansing, which, I mean, I think it's fair to say historically is a bit of a tainted brand, if I may understate wildly. I mean, it's... Did you expect this at the start of this week? And you sat, because obviously at the news, because what we do at the start of every week, we get our panellists to write down the news stories they expected to happen. I mean, you might have gone with Elon Musk denies pointy white hood he wore had racist undertones. But I don't think even the most cheese-addled Trump-predicting fever dreamers would have gone for American president advocates ethnically cleansing grief-stricken war zone and turning it into holiday resort.
We're only 3 weeks into this president. It's not even been a month.
Yeah.
It's not even been a month. He's not even been paid yet.
I mean, I guess, you know, Trump's desire to turn Gaza into the Riviera of the Middle East, I guess that sits quite neatly alongside Elon Musk's apparent efforts to turn Washington, D.C. into the 1930s Berlin of the USA. But, I mean, it's been widely rejected by the international community. I mean, France in particular have rejected the proposal, presumably because they don't want to risk the Côte d'Azur being rebranded as the Gaza of the Northwest Mediterranean. is there any logic to it that any of you have spotted?
No.
It would be quite something if Donald Trump was so insane, the power of his insanity was enough to fully unite the Arab world. It would be incredible. I hope that happens just for the kind of murals we'll get in 30 years of this sort of mad-looking blonde wig guy just all over the walls of various Arab capitals. Just without him, we could never have done it. We could never have come together as one. He was just insane enough.
I mean, if he does somehow just bring about world peace, I don't feel like that's possible right now, but it could happen. It'd be tough for the left to take, wouldn't it? It'd be like finding out like Hitler was a vegetarian and Margaret Thatcher had a hand in Mr. Whippy. Not hand in Mr. Whippy, anyway.
Can I just clarify that Mr. Whippy was actually her nickname for Norman Tebbit?
The thing about world peace, he really wants to win the Nobel Peace Prize. He really wants it because Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize. So that is, he might fight to get world peace just to own the libs.
Can I just remind everybody in this room and everyone who is listening, this man suggested putting bleach in your veins during the pandemic. He is not bringing about world peace.
I guess there is a logic to what Trump's doing. If you look closely enough, having spent an hour or so with your head in a cement mixer full of cannonballs. The logic is this. A different approach was needed. This is a different approach. Therefore, this is needed. Similar logic. I like eating chicken wings. Chickens have 2 feet. I have 2 feet. I'm now eating my own arm. This is related to Trump. According to Keir Starmer this week, the UK is not, despite rumours to the contrary, having to choose between what two things?
Ant and Dec.
Daddy or chips?
This is him talking about choosing between the US and the EU.
Yes.
Isn't it like we have a part to play in this? I love this delusion. Yeah. It's like me sitting going, I don't know who I'm going to pick, Kylie or Danny Minogue. Like, any of them are interested.
I disagree. I think this is Britain's time to shine. This is the biggest Brexit benefit. I'm telling you, people, listen up, because we get to be the global snidey friend. We are well placed to do that, making out with mates with everyone while cozying up to other people. When was things last good economically? It was when George W. was wearing Tony Blair's balls as earrings. We've got to get back in that place. This is what we're good at. We need to create a minister for ferrying scurrilous rumours between friends. And Keir Starmer, he's rode back on every position he's ever had. Just think of it like traitors. Just Keir Starmer going round, just going, "Green lad, I just want you to know that my gut instinct is that Donald Trump shouldn't buy you." And then he goes to Trump, goes, "Look, they're absolutely traitors."
It doesn't seem to occur to anyone that we don't really have anything to sell. Never really clear what... Everyone goes on about it. We're going to have a trade deal. You go to the for like coffee shops. I don't really know what we do.
Keir Starmer is often called Mr. Darcy. Remember, there was that thing with Bridget Jones, is he Mr. Darcy? But I think he's actually Bridget Jones in this. Who is he going to pick? Is he going to pick the bad boy, America, who's quite charming, but, you know, can't be trusted? Or is he going to choose the EU, who will kind of put out your bins and won't chlorinate your chicken? It is a really, really difficult decision. It is a difficult decision.
Is he just running about the middle of London in his pants and a tight fit?
The Wall Street Journal this week ran an opinion piece arguing that Trump has set a new all-time record for what hotly contested title?
Journalist fainting when he says mad shit.
It kind of cracks me up with it when he's went, we're going to go after Canada. And everyone's like, really? Canada?
Yeah.
The nice Canadian people who, when they legalise cannabis, after a weekend, a whole country had run out of cannabis. And you're going to go after them? What are you going to do? Take their mamas and papas records off them?
I think that's part of his crazy strategy, like Nixon trying to seem unhinged. Because picking a fight with Canada, you're right, it's like bursting into a pub and starting a fight with the dog by the fire. It's so much more frightening than starting a fight with a bouncer or the barman. Just go, this guy will do anything. This is a horrible man. This is a horrible man.
He actually achieved the incredible thing of making Canadians patriotic. That's what I'm telling you. This guy, he can do things no other politician has ever done. Look, the truth of the matter is the US does have a massive drugs problem. You know, I don't think that much of the fentanyl comes over from Canada, but it is an issue for them. We don't get it because we don't have a fentanyl problem here. We're doing just fine with analog drugs. That's right.
Only 43 pounds of fentanyl was seized at the Canadian border going into America, right? And I'm thinking, I mean, I could have fitted that in my bra. You've got £43. I've seen that at a house party in Glasgow. What's your problem, Donald? Relax.
Can't wait for your series of Race Across the World.
But you're right. The big coup was the fact that the Prime Minister of Canada and the President of Mexico just had to do a big announcement going, well, now drugs really are illegal. Double illegal. I think that if you think too economically about it, you miss the fact that his base is largely comprised of people who would gladly pay an extra $2 for eggs if they knew that that was somehow inconveniencing a foreigner. But he's everything he loves is from the late 1800s. Tariffs, prospecting for mineral wealth, building big buildings.
No women's rights.
Yeah, yeah. He's this close to suggesting we harness the power of steam.
Donald Trump has announced punishing tariffs on, I don't know, whichever countries happen to be passing temporarily through his head at the time, prompting his beloved stock markets to tell him where to stick himself, and then he de-announced the tariffs temporarily because he had more pressing business trying to set a new all-time record for stupidest solution to the Middle East situation since God flooded the entire place back in Noah's Day. Whatever you think of Trump, whether you think he's a viral mutation of Western democracy and capitalism, a pseudo-patriotic betrayer of the nation America never truly was in the first place anyway, a one-man manifestation of the decay and decline of 21st century humanity condensed into one ethically putrescent vortex of seemingly infinite vanity and malevolence, or not, you can't deny that he knows how to get on the news quiz. I mean, the thing is, if you hire someone to sort out your living room by swinging an incontinent badger around their head repeatedly, then logically, just don't sit on your sofa for a while. So at the end of our America round, the scores are 4 to Suzanne Pierre, 3 to Jeff and Aisha, so with 25% tariffs, it's 3 to 2.25. Right, well, since it's Super Bowl week, we're going to have a special news quiz halftime show. Unfortunately, we are not on a Super Bowl budget, we are on a radio budget. So do sit back and enjoy the BBC Amateur Tchaikovsky Appreciation Society with a, how much could we afford in the end, 5-second excerpt from their version of Swan Lake. Can we not even afford some of the orchestra? Oh, well, that showbiz. Right, on with the show. Next question. Whose school report this week said, no signs of improvement, if anything, and I never thought I'd say this, even worse than before?
Oh, is this the first 6 months of the Labour Party?
It's not that, no.
Is it Ofsted?
It is Ofsted, yes. Yes.
Yeah, they're changing it, aren't they? Because the former grading was a bit harsh, so now the grading goes from lemon and herb, mild, and peri-peri madness. But teachers have complained, right? They've said that they find it demoralising. I used to be a teacher. We say that we find everything demoralising, including teaching, right? So it is... the big irony, though, is that teachers don't like being graded. Well, it's not nice, is it, guys, is it? The same people that actually give a grade to something as subjective as effort...
Right? They've introduced a five-coloured traffic light system. Because you know how traffic lights are famously five coloured? I can see the problem in this from the off Ofsted.
A lot of the concerns about the new system have been raised from within Ofsted by whistleblowers, so we know the PE teachers aren't happy.
Why don't you just name the ratings in a way that's honest for, like, middle-class, sharp-elbowed parents? You know what I mean? Call it, yeah, definitely get them in here, pretend to be a Christian. Yeah. Not this one, it's got metal detectors, you know.
The top rating should just be a picture of an estate agent with some champagne.
Right, our next question can go to Susie and Pierre. According to a poll this week, more people in the UK now prefer what to what?
This is more people prefer reform to the Labour Party.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, reform, it's understandable why they do. I don't know what their policies are, but when you've got, like, the party that we're in 14 years, no one likes them. The other lot come in, and there was some hope, and then that's been dashed. So, but the problem is reform, they're sort of like UKIP if you feed them after midnight, aren't they? Their manifesto is the last thing we really know anything about, right? And it was kind of like right-wing fantasy football, wasn't it? They just threw every single right-wing idea, they put Messi, Ronaldo, probably should be doing cricket references. They put Cowdery and Gower in the same team. But their agenda, no one knows what it is, right? It's a sentiment at this point, but they do have Farage, right? And for all people might not like about him, he could talk. Problem is, he doesn't have anything to sell. Sort of like a doctor who is all diagnosis and no prescription. He'll tell you, well, you've got a cyst on your arm, your leg's hanging off, and your head is broken. They go, what do I do about it? Well, it's a farce. You go, oh, yeah, I get it, yeah. It's a farce, it's a disgrace, it's calamitous. What he really is he's a thesaurus. He's a thesaurus of synonyms for everything that's wrong. But I don't know exactly, but there's no pressure on them to actually say what they'll do yet. They're just surfing this sentiment wave.
Whenever they do a poll and they say reform are doing really well, you're right, it's just a dissatisfaction survey. Just replace reform on the survey with a frowny face. And is this how you feel? And most of the British public will go, yes. Well, I don't even need to know what the survey's about. Yes, frowny face. So, every day.
Are you saying we could have an emoji prime minister within 10 years?
Yeah. It must be hard for the Lib Dems, isn't it? Because people are going, if only there was some sort of third way in British politics. if there was some way to escape the two-party system, and they're going, we're literally right here.
But, I mean, Jeff is absolutely right that, you know, reform are doing really, really well. There are going to be big local elections and mayoral elections in May of this year, and I think they're probably going to do really, really well. But they can say exactly what they like right now because nothing is costed. They're under absolutely no scrutiny. But the other thing which is really tough and gives Nigel Farage a massive advantage is a lot of the press and social media are really behind him, like Elon Musk, even though they've had a bit of a spat at one point. Elon Musk was going to donate some money. A lot of the right-wing press are behind them because it's quite interesting, it's good for business. And if you look at who the Labour Party is, I mean, Keir Starmer's just about got The Mirror, just about got The Guardian, and I think Toolmakers Weekly's not even that backing him anymore. Like, it is tough right now for the Labour Party, but it is difficult for the Tories as well, because now one in five Tory voters would vote for reform, and the other four have moved to the Cayman Islands since the Labour Party in the election.
Yeah, so it's the first time that Reform UK have topped an opinion poll, and with only 4 years and 5 months out of their five-year term in office until the next election, it's hard to see how Labour can possibly recover from this sad point.
Yes, an opinion poll has revealed, by which I mean it has sort of suggested, with a huge number of caveats and footnotes, that if a general election were held tomorrow, which is the biggest if since Rudyard Kipling started projecting the titles of his poems up onto the night skies above Gotham City... If a general election were held tomorrow, which would be, frankly, a logistical and broadcasting nightmare... If a general election were held tomorrow, which, let's be honest, would be a strategic gamble by the Labour Party, even more reckless than the Tories ramming their marmalade-covered fingers into the electrical socket that was a Liz Truss leadership bid. If a general election were held tomorrow, 25% of the British public would vote for Reform UK if they actually voted how they say they're going to vote in an opinion poll, which, as we know from elections, a lot of them probably won't. Jeff. Keir Starmer has been under pressure to explain himself after it emerged that during COVID lockdown times, he was visited by what?
The ghost of future pensioners?
Correct.
It's the voice coach, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, the most stunning revelation in political history. It'd be up there with finding out that Boris wore a chastity belt, wouldn't it? That Keir Starmer... I mean, I suppose... So he's questioned about it at PMQs, you know. I don't think he broke the rules, but I think certainly there was some latitude within the spirit of the rules. And they just asked yourself, do you really need a voice coach to be present? You know, when I think of all the things I did over Zoom during the lockdowns, speed driver awareness course, another one, a third one, a meeting with a solicitor about how to get my licence back, you know...
I think the Labour Party uses voice coaches who insert adenoids.
I just think he's going to get bullied at the next summit. So I do worry for Keir that he's going to get bullied. So my idea is send Angela Rayner, right? She's a ginger woman from the north of England. Stick 3 Jaegers in her and just say, Angela, Trump and Meloni have been slagging off your family. Just watch her go.
It is very on brand for Starmer to be like caught doing the equivalent of bunking off school to go do more work in the library. Still working.
Yes, that's so often whether you think this is a big deal or a small deal or no deal or a small deal that is worth pretending is a big deal to get some political traction or a big deal that's worth pretending is a small deal because, frankly, you can't be asked to waste your soul on stuff like this anymore. Well, that's up to you and your political inclinations. But hearing that Keir Starmer has a voice coach... That is like hearing that Elon Musk has a historical sensitivity advisor. So, at the end of our UK politics round, Susie and Pierre have 5, and Jeff and Aisha have 4.25. Right, we have a special round now. It's our online misinformation round. I'm going to deliberately falsely exaggerate a news story from this week that was itself a deliberate false exaggeration. Our panellists have to tell me what the original story actually was. So here is the exaggerated headline. Scottish First Minister Swinney to publicly execute freshly widowed granny's last remaining kitten, then serve its corpse as a school meal. Can anyone tell me what the original story actually was?
This was about the SNP and John Swinney being accused of bringing in a policy of banning cats.
Correct.
Yeah, welcome to the world of Scottish journalism, ladies and gentlemen, where literally the journalists have realised that the print sales are so low they just pick any old nonsense out of there and go, let's see what we can get away with this week. This was a story for like 3 days in Scotland.
I have to say, the more that he said he wasn't going to ban cats, the more I thought, that sounds a lot like a guy who's going to ban cats. I didn't believe it the first time, but now there's 3 days of this. Those cats are getting banned.
I mean, the Scottish government clarified things. They said that they're not going to ban cats, but they are going to be introducing a cat deposit return scheme.
I heard he was going to ban cats, but let's just say he woke up with a mouse's head on his pillow. Changed his mind.
Yeah, the original story was restrictions on movements of cats might be worth considering in some areas, according to research, but this became Scotland to ban cats. So,
they would never have done, Andy, because yeah. If there's one thing that cats and the SNP love, it's independence.
But we all know this is how news progresses. So our challenge for our panellists is, could you be an online news editor? You have to transform a genuine story or actual fact from the news this week into a willfully misleading headline that will make people angry, worried, or frightened. So Let's start with this. Susie and Pierre, have a go at this one. The actual story is Chagos Island's deal under scrutiny. Twist that into something terrifying.
We are selling whales to Mauritius.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I think that's pretty close to how it was reported.
It's one of those news stories where the more I read, the less I understand what's happening. It reminds me of any time where this news says the stock market's not doing well, and I go, today's the day I figure out what that exactly means.
Jeff, your story to transform into some terrifying headline. The government has announced plans to make it easier to build mini nuclear power stations in England and Wales.
OK. Labour ban large reactors because of eco-nutters. Plans for larger reactors shelved after Greta Funbags finds one single family of left-wing voles. I'm going to say that wasn't a reach for me, Andy.
Starmer's Chernobyl on your cricket ground.
Oh, now you have my full undivided attention. This is how it works. Final one. UN planetary defence organisations closely monitoring asteroid that has tiny risk of hitting Earth.
Asteroid due to hit Earth any day now as UN fails to keep UK safe.
To be fair, given the UN's record in preventing disasters, the idea of that they're the ones in charge of stopping asteroids, you go, well, we're screwed. A guy in a blue helmet's going to watch the asteroid hit. Okay, good.
It'd be the Guardian's ideal scenario, wouldn't it? Just so they could go, I told you so. Whereas I mean, the tabloids would go, top five things to do before we all get destroyed. Have an affair. Take heroin.
How the asteroid might open up planning permission for your extension.
Yeah. Right, with the scores now tied at 7 points all, we go to a tiebreaker. A burnt scroll from the volcano-struck town of Herculaneum has been digitally unwrapped. They've managed to decipher some of the letters inside it after almost 2,000 years. We don't know exactly what is in the scroll yet, but our winners this week will be whichever team can give me the best message that we will put into the BBC's Micro Vesuvius. So what message would you leave for people to read 2,000 years from now about the world we're living in, Pierre?
Don't throw away the packet. You don't remember the cooking instructions. I think I can remember 180 fan. And then, look who's rifling through the bin.
My message is more a question, and that would be, have we managed to build the third runway at Heathrow yet?
You are number one in the queue. Your scroll is important to us.
By the barest of margins, our winners are Jeff and Aisha. Thanks to them and to Susie and Pierre. Thank you for listening to the News Quiz. Goodbye. Taking part in the News Quiz were Jeff Norcott, Aisha Hazarika, Pierre Novelli and Susie McCabe. In the chair was me, Andy Zaltzman. And additional material was written by Jade Gebby, Alex Keeley, Stuart McPherson, Christina Riggs and an infinite number of monkeys. No actual monkeys were force-fed absinthe in the recording of this programme. The producer was Rajiv Kuria and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
And the News Quiz will be back at the same time next week. Well, after the news here on Radio 4, we're off to Ambridge, where Ben takes the plunge and Chris is honest. In the meantime...
I'm penniless comedian Sunil Patel, and in my new series for weekday mornings on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, I'm on a quest to marry into money.
If you want to bag an heiress, you have to dress like you fit in Chelsea. People who went to Ollie's wedding in Made in Chelsea were not wearing Heat t-shirts.
Do you want to get married?
I'm so sorry.
Sharing tips for success.
Of course, the most polite thing to do is butter your date's bread.
Would you want someone touching your bread rolls?
It depends who it is.
An idiot's guide to bagging an heiress. Next Monday to Friday morning at 11:45.